Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Man, I am rewatching the game from last night as we come on air. And that was special. Phil Rivers, man. Whatever you guys have ever thought about him,
yep.
The guy's got stones. He just does. He does.
He sure does.
It used to result in a lot of interceptions, but you know what?
Listen, it resulted in
like
two last night.
Like they used to say
also
about the Honey Badger, Phil Rivers don't care.
He sure don't.
Phil Rivers do not care.
He's going to wear his bolo tie and procreate regardless.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Child number 9 on the way.
I'm telling you.
And win number 11 in the books last night. So we've talked about the Chargers a lot. Dane has talked about them from the beginning of the season. I've been talking about how they're on the come, and I think they're probably the best team in the AFC. And in two of the last 3 weeks, they go on the road against a formidable AFC opponent. One could argue the Steelers are no longer formidable. But down 2 touchdowns. In the second half, in this case, in 4-5 minutes to go, they're down 2 touchdowns. And they score, and they come back, and they win both games. It's just incredible. They go with they put their cojones on the line last night to go for 2, and I can appreciate it.
I like the call, too. On the road, with momentum, yeah.
Yeah.
Look, keep Patty Mahomes off the field.
Like we more and more we see the analyst. Wow, he's so open too. I just
rewatched it.
So
yeah,
full disclosure, I fell asleep. I fell asleep with
wide open. Yeah.
I just fell asleep with right after the Justin Jackson touchdown and like the ensuing penalties as Dane and I were talking about getting on air. But really an amazing comeback. Just I'll leave it to you, Dane, because you've been on the Chargers in the Super Bowl all year.
Right, and this is like, you know, my perfect time to try to, you know, not gloat per se, but revel in it. Listen, honestly, Mike, I think this is the most impressive win in the NFL all season long. You mentioned that they came back from 14 down, right? But they came back from 14 down without their number one running back, Melvin Gordon, without their number one wide receiver, Keenan Allen, who got banged up with a hip injury, and still – at Kansas City, down 2 touchdowns, this team was able to come back and get a win. Show me a more impressive win in the NFL on the road against one of the big boys like the Rams or the Chiefs or the Saints or something like that when you don't have your starting running back, you don't have your starting wide receiver, your number one wideout. You know, I've been saying the Chargers for a long time, Mike, and listen, in the last month, they take care of Seattle at Seattle, which now looks like a more impressive win based on the way the Seahawks. To your point, they were down 14 at Pittsburgh last week. They're now down 14 at Kansas City. And listen, this team now at 11-3, I don't care who they are playing, Blewett. They have proven they could be on the road at New England. I don't think it matters. This team is complete on both sides of the ball. And the last thing I'll say right here, Blewett, is, you know, it's 29-28. But if you look in the box score, they held the Kansas City Chiefs to under 300 total yards. That's impressive. Patty Mahomes is 243 yards.
He was great in the first half, and then they didn't do anything in the second half.
His 243 yards, his lowest output of the season. This was also a good defensive effort. They forced the Chiefs a few 3-and-outs when they needed it. The Chargers are a complete team. I hope you guys were listening to me earlier on in the season.
He threw 2 picks in the first half. just like they did at the Steelers. They're now 23-7 in Pittsburgh, a franchise that had never lost a two-touchdown lead in the history of Heinz Field and Three Rivers Stadium and wherever the heck they played before that. So really impressive. And as much as we talked about the Texans on there, that was a nine-game win streak that came to an end against Indianapolis. This win streak by the Chargers isn't as long. But
it's against stiffer competition.
The only loss they have since September 23rd is a walk-off field goal against Denver. It was in San Diego, or rather L.A., sorry. Damn it, I got through most of the season doing this. I messed it up right here. But in any event, that's the only loss is the Brandon McManus walk-off field goal. They beat the Niners 29-27. Raiders at Browns, Titans in London, which obviously it's ironic. They get the two-point conversion to go their way in London.
That's right.
It went their way also when the Titans missed it. By the way, I really needed that two-point conversion. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Then they go to Seattle. They go to Oakland, lose to Denver, blow out Arizona. Steelers comeback win. Bengals they beat, and the comeback win against Kansas City last night. These haven't all been blowouts. They've won tight games,
close games. And that's what you like seeing.
You do like to see that because while you don't want to mess around with teams and keep them close all the time, this is the NFL. Nobody's running up there like Alabama and rolling over teams week in, week out. Heck, you know, the Bears win with L.A. coming into town I thought was impressive, but this one is right there. I'm with you, Dane. And to do that to the Steelers and the Chiefs inside of 11 days is beyond impressive.
Yeah, and, like, listen, that Bears win with the Rams coming to town was definitely impressive. The Bears were at home in that game. The Bears had, you know, their quarterback coming back. They had their full complement of weapons. This Chargers team, you mentioned they stubbed their toe at Denver. Their only other two losses are at the Rams and against these same Kansas City Chiefs. Like, you know, we talk about, and it's interesting, blew it on freestyle right before the game goes. You know, I said, here was my narrative for the game. I said, I like whoever the last team with the ball is. And I think the critical question will just be, will Phillip Rivers come up clutch or will he throw the goofy pick? You know, and that's exactly what it came down to. And the Chargers get this win also. Phillip Rivers threw a ridiculous pick the first play of the game.
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers threw a pick at the end of the first half.
That's right. That
when they should
and
have
preserved
that last 3 points.
And I heard Scott say he thought that was going to be a killer. I thought it was, too. Horrible throw, too. Like, just a really bonehead Phil Rivers kind of throw.
The prototypical bonehead throw, right? Yeah, but the Chargers are now overcoming even that. They're overcoming all this stuff, you know, and not for nothing, Blewett, but I, you know, yes, I've been on the Chargers all season long, blah, 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 blah. I heard a very interesting interview with Phillip Rivers that I mentioned to you guys right after the London trip. Okay. I mentioned that they had something like a stretch of a month and a half where they had only one home game, right? They had like 3 road games, the bye and the London game. So they were traveling on the road for something like 5 weeks in a row. And Phillip Rivers was saying that London trip really helped like the team chemistry. And they keep on saying, I don't know if you hear it, but in every interview, they're saying like the locker room is a fun place to be. This team is bonding. They feel like something special is happening. And, you know, it's starting to play out on the field.
He's not wrong.
That's right. Exactly. You know, and I think that London trip could have helped. Listen, I can say it because I've said it all season long, but this team is going to be live wherever they go in the playoffs, New England included.
Agreed. Now, the Chiefs still have the tiebreaker on them. So
but they got to go to Seattle.
Right.
So they got to go to Seattle. Blue. Oh, sorry.
Remember,
I was going to help you
with
your coughing. But yeah,
sorry. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I kept talking about why is everybody gifting everyone all the wins the rest of the way? Like, the Chiefs are just going to go 15-1. The Rams are going to blow through the rest of their schedule. It's like, wait a second. The Saints aren't either. So we're going to get a couple or three losses in a few instances, and it's going to be a battle to the end. Seattle's not going to lay down for
like 13-3 is still an incredible record in the NFL. You know?
Right. Like, we don't just go through year after year teams knocking out 14-15 wins. It doesn't happen. In fact, you know, you and I have talked about my over-unders all year. The reason I didn't swap in New England.
Right, because you don't go over 12.5 or whatever it is.
Yeah, it was 11.5. Like, I can't guarantee 12 wins. Like, if they win 11-5, it's a pretty good year. And
stuff happens in the NFL. These teams are on their
third
string running back. Right.
Like
yeah,
the Miami
exactly.
Miracle happened. Shouts yeah. to Miami. I said these other ones were the big wins. I'm not denigrating that win in any way. It's really it's the play of the year and the you know
the play of the year. Yes,
the shocking play of the year. So just to break down this game for those of you that didn't get a chance to dive into it, Phil Rivers ends up with a really nice game. 26 of 38, two scores. He does throw the two picks. Justin Jackson, pretty efficient on 19 touches. 85 yards and a score. Mike Williams, obviously the monster game. He goes 7 for 76, two touchdowns, but he ran in an end-around 19-yard score where he's barely touched, by the way.
Yeah, nice cut inside, though, too.
Three
usually
touchdowns.
Those go all the way outside. He cut it back in. I think it was a nice
yeah,
play.
Yeah, three touchdowns, plus he got the two-pointer there at the end as well, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
When he was wide open.
Yeah, that's right. He was standing by himself in the
yes.
middle of the end zone. So,
long coverage, yeah.
Detrez Newsome, how about that?
Yeah.
For those of you playing in showdown slates on DFS, if you threw him in there at a minimum, he got eight touches
sure.
overall for 53 yards. So,
sure.
shout out to him. I benched Tyrell Williams in favor of Seth Roberts in one of my leagues. And I'm not going to worry about that. But six catches for 71 yards. Hey, Seth hasn't played yet, so we got to give him a shot. That was, and honestly, if Keenan Allen is in there, I don't
right.
think Tyrell Williams is seeing that.
Yeah.
I don't know what Mike Williams is seeing either, frankly, because Keenan Allen, for the previous month, going up till Sunday, so I'm not incorporating Sunday's game. I just remember this stat from a few days ago. He was seeing 34% of the market share of targets. That's extremely high.
That's DeAndre Hopkins territory.
Yeah, because they obviously throw to their backs a lot, too, whether it's Jackson or Eckler or Gordon. They throw to their backs a lot. So that was not leaving that much for Mike and Tyrell Williams combined, which is why I thought to bench Tyrell Williams. So that's it on the Chargers side of things. Travis Benjamin did have, though, a couple of big catches. He goes 2 for 57,
yeah.
but they're much bigger the NFL variety than they were in the fantasy variety. He had a carry for 8 yards, but man, he had a huge, huge catch there late.
Like 4th and
12, I guess
something like that.
Yeah, right. To flip the page over to the Chiefs, I think the thing that you're most bummed about, first of all, I think they continue to show some defensive liability on the whole. It's gotten better, but I still think they're giving up 29 points at home to the Chargers and getting two scores put up on them in the last 4 minutes. I think they're giving up 33 points to the Raiders, and I'm concerned. They are in a shootout with Baltimore, who
right.
obviously has seen an uptick offensively with Lamar Jackson under center, but nonetheless, it is not a high-octane team. So they get themselves
they are getting
a shootout.
Pass rush, though. They are getting
yes.
a pass rush, though.
Yes, yes, which is helpful. But I just think that they'd still struggle at times to cover people. So I think the thing that you're most bummed about, though, is that the four-minute offense didn't get it done. I think they would have taken it. Yeah, if we're up 28-21, 3.5 minutes to go, we're
get
in.
Some first downs. Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that. We'll get our four-minute offense. Andy Reid can run it. Will execute. Damian Williams had a good game as it was, so you would think they could pull it off, but Chargers defense held strong. So Patty Mahomes, 24 of 34, 243, two scores. It's an average, you know, like you said, it's a below average output for him, but it's not a disastrous game
right.
for him. It's just not what you need when you're in the semifinals of your playoffs. Damian Williams, star of the show last night.
Yeah.
I guess Mike Williams technically is the star of the show, but for Kansas City, Damian Williams, 16 touches. That is a total of 110, 123.
30 fantasy points.
Yeah, 123, two scores. Yeah, I guess in my half-point PPR, it was 27, but to your point,
okay, yeah.
It's a 30-point output
in
full-point PPR. Let's see, who else? Travis Kelce, 7 of 61, doesn't get in the end zone. Tyreek Hill, 4 for 46 on 7 targets. So
as a touchdown, bounce off his face, too.
Yeah, yeah. It's happened to him a couple times this year. It's odd. You can't really criticize him on the whole, clearly.
No.
But and it's the second time I've seen that happen to him. So DeMarcus Robinson, vulture, 2 for
yeah.
7, and the score. So the touchdowns last night, receiving, go to, of course, if you had Darrell Williams
sure.
and DeMarcus Robinson, you win the prize. So Damian Williams with the two rushing scores. A really entertaining game. I'll take this over the 54-51 all day, every day. Exciting ending. We saw some good defense. We saw too many penalties, as you noted earlier, but I think we always see too many penalties. I'm not accepting of it. I just I don't think this one stands out as any more egregious than the other games I've complained about this year.
Yeah, I think that's true. It's just like, it's just such a kind of heartbreaker, you know, when they extend drives. I mean, there was one Chargers drive where I think they were getting like their first three first downs via penalty. The one last point I do want to make about this, you know, this is the last Thursday night game. These two teams now have 10 days off. Okay, so for Justin Jackson owners, I'm sorry, but the window has closed. You know, Austin Eckler and Melvin Gordon may in fact be back week 16, right? And for the Damian Very Williams possible. Guys, you know, Spencer Ware, I think may be back week 16. So while
if
it's all
him,
fine and dandy,
freaking Damian Williams again. I'd
maybe it's
him.
A real timeshare. I think it becomes like a real timeshare of Ware and Williams, because the thing is with Williams, like he was explosive and very quick and all, but he becomes one of those same kind of slight running backs, right? Can he really handle the load? And I don't think the answer is yes, to be quite honest, especially for a Chiefs team that has designs on playing into late January and early February, right? So yeah. I just want to let people realize that, you know, the 17 points you got out of Jackson, the 30 points you got out of Williams, you ain't going to get that again week 16.
I can't believe they even tried with Melvin Gordon. I think you got to have your eyes on the prize if you're the Chargers. And if he's not ready next week, don't play him next week. You know, just they're in a really good position right now. I understand that they're trying to win the division and they're going to push hard to get to 13 wins here. But, man, they are a good football team. I think they're the best team in the AFC. It's something I've been speculating on for the last few weeks.
And something I've been speculating on for the last few months.
I'm just saying this team played good football without Joey Bosa there, and now that's where they're at. To Dane's point about the penalties, 7 for 50 on LA and 10 for 66 on the Chiefs. Yeah. So 17 penalties overall. I think I've seen the Steelers get called for 17 penalties in one.
It was the timing of them a lot too, though. It was extending drives, that sort of thing.
Of course. So when we come back after the break, we'll get into playoff scenarios for the rest of the week and the rest of the season for teams in both the AFC and the NFC. We'll set up some highlight games for this weekend too. We still got some big matchups on the slate. None bigger, Dane, than your New York Jets hosting the Houston Texans. 4:30 on a Saturday. Get excited.
Miss the fourth quarter of that one to travel to a holiday party, but so that's exactly. Okay. I also blew it. I want to bounce
get
off
excited
of
for the mid-Saturday fudge job for the NFL. Thanks, Jets fans. Hope you don't get a chance to watch your game because it's the middle of holiday season on a Saturday.
Exactly. I gotta bounce off my poll question for freestyle, which is related to this, and I want to also get your insight, blew it, on
I said it, no way.
Okay.
I saw
oh,
the
did?
Question.
Okay. Yeah.
I have no shot.
I know.
I got 5-year-old basketball practice.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly,
you know?
At 4:30.
It's messed up. And I also want to bounce off you something I heard from Dr. Ray last hour to get your take on.
All right, cool. We'll do it when we come back. But thanks for the fudge, Roger. I got basketball practice. We got to teach people how to dribble. Maybe reach the rim. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. We'll come back. We'll talk.
Fundamentals. Chest pass.
Playoffs next.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire short list of unicorns.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
If you're someone that needs fantasy sports advice every day, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network has you covered. When you download the FNTSY Sports Radio Network app, you get the top fantasy advice every single day right through the weekend. Be sure to listen to our weekend warriors like College Football Today.
Welcome to College Football Today.
Weekend Fantasy Update.
They call me the Fantasy Jesus.
In this league,
it is never short of exciting at ITL.
And so much more. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app in the iTunes and Google Play Store now. And keep the best fantasy experts right in your pocket all day long and all week long. Roto
Experts. Phillip Rivers amped himself up for the MVP award with these wins over the Steelers.
At Pittsburgh, at Seattle, at Kansas City.
Phillip Rivers has to take that next step, though. This team hasn't made the playoffs since 2013. He's got a 4-5 playoff record with 11 touchdowns and 9 interceptions and an 85 quarterback rating. Phillip Rivers has to get past the AFC Championship game this year.
Weekdays, 7 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
You want to be sedated?
You
want to go to DailyRoto.com. The NBA lineup optimizer is now available. It means you can use the same tools and projections that DailyRoto.com NFL premium subscribers are using to win each week for NBA DFS contests. So DailyRoto.com has produced 7 separate FanDuel and DraftKings $1 million tournament winners and millions more in cumulative prizes. So if you're playing DFS and you aren't using the DailyRoto tools, projections, and optimizers, you're doing it wrong. And you're at a competitive disadvantage. Just like Charlie Weiss used to say that Notre Dame was going to have a decided schematic advantage.
Right, I can remember that, actually.
You'll have a decided competitive disadvantage if you don't use Daily Roto. By the way, Charlie Weiss was totally wrong. I'm completely right, obviously. So go to DailyRoto.com and click on Go Premium. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount and start winning today. That's DailyRoto.com. Click on Go Premium. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount and start winning today. So
are you at a competitive disadvantage if you're sedated?
I don't know. Depends what you're doing. You know, you're playing video games. You could just ease out. I don't know.
When you're making your bets over at BetDSI.
Yeah, you don't want to be under
you don't
the
be sedated?
Influence of any kind of sedation, drug,
fair
or
enough.
Booze. But, I mean, who... Like percentage of people gambling that are, you know,
sedated
little,
is high.
Taking on a little booze. I mean, it's the Venn diagram of those two. It's a nearly concurrent circle.
Yeah, so, it's like NBA players with tattoos.
True. Once Cherokee Parks, I mean, I'm going old school here. Once Cherokee Parks was like had full sleeves, I was like, I think we've turned the page here. I think tattoos are universally acceptable.
Mainstream.
He was like a sort of, you know. White bread guy from Duke, and then 6 years in the league.
Get
and I was
that
like,
ink.
Mom, Cherokee, neck tats. Nice. All right. So what do you got from Dr. A?
Oh, so, you know, we go through all these players and stuff, and I even bounced off him the idea of Tyron Smith wearing a knee brace on the elbow. And just so you know, he said that is fine, sound medical practice. But in any event, as it relates to Odell Beckham and the quad, you know, he was really – he latched onto this idea that Odell and his camp are going to get a second opinion. And he said that that usually signals the idea that there may be a disconnect between the player and the team, you know, that he doesn't like what he's hearing from the team. And, you know, he was kind of like a surprise scratch that we heard about on Saturday last week. And it sounds like he doesn't like what he's hearing from the team. He's going to go get a second opinion. I think Odell Beckham is a legitimate question mark for Sunday. And going forward, because the Giants don't really have much to play for either, right? And Odell, as we know, cares about him and his brand. So he may be like, nah, I don't care what the team doctor says. I need to take care of me. I need to shut it down.
Yeah, look, I heard a little bit of that, but it's really hard for me to know like exactly what's happening there. If you're the team, and you know, we'll get to the playoff scenarios in a moment, but if you're the team, you're trying to – so there's an interesting dynamic here with Odell because, look, put all the drama – you can't put it away. But the drama surrounding Odell, you had to put a bunch of it away. Once they gave him the long-term contract and he was a good citizen for the run-up to it, you had to just say, all right, look, it's water under the bridge.
Yeah.
No more nonsense. And – you're here long term. And then what was interesting, and, you know, a couple of things, like you see Sterling Shepard throwing tantrums during the losing streak, and you're like, is that an Odell influence? And, like, he got away with it, so other guys think he can get away with it. You start to have those
broken
internal discussions
theory.
Or external discussions. What was that?
Broken windows theory.
Yeah, exactly. So, but just a week ago, leading up to that Washington game, Odell said the exact thing you want him to say as a leader of a team.
That's right.
Like, we're not here to, like, play out the string. We're trying to win all these games.
We're going to be tough outs.
Spoiler, and then we're going to be tough outs. And I've actually said that about the Giants for, like, historically, they're not the team that folds up shop usually. And I actually thought that they would be a tough out in some of these games. You know, they were oddly 1-7. I know they didn't play good football, but they lost a crazy one on a long field goal.
Right.
They lost a tight one in Atlanta. They lost, you know, by 5 to Jacksonville, by a touchdown to Dallas. They weren't getting blown off the field except that one night in Philly where you're like, all right, that's the end of the road. They're 1-4, and they just got 1-5. They just got crushed by Philly. But they played hard the next 2 weeks, even though they lost them. Then they beat the Niners, beat Tampa, lost to Philly by a field goal, beat the Bears in overtime, and just destroyed Washington. So now it gets tough again. They play the Titans at Colts, Cowboys. They're not going to be favored in any of those games. But
and that's the other overlay, Blewett, honestly. Yeah. You know, I'm sorry, but that's the thing.
No,
when we talk about, like, oh, teams tanking, blah, 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 right? We always say the players are always giving their best effort. The way organizations tank is by in the front office. This is a team, Blewett. The Giants have already put Landon Collins on IR. You know what I mean? So the idea of, like, and if there's some kind of injury to Odell, it is very easy for them to just be like, he's done. He's out. That's how the Giants could, you know, position themselves for Justin Hebert, in fact.
By the way,
you know?
I stand
and
corrected.
No one would care.
On the favorites, the Giants are actually favored by 2.
They are favored. Trust me, I know, because I've made one of my picks as Tennessee +2 this week.
So there you go. I think I'll be doing that, too. I should just jump on the bandwagon of all of my own picks. So I don't want any.
But you know what I mean? If the Giants are going to tank in any way, shape, or form, it's very easy. No one would bat an eyelash to sit Odell Beckham.
I agree. So I just wonder, like, how much does the team want to put him out there? It'll be interesting to watch. I think if I'm an Odell owner, though, in fantasy, you can't feel good at all right now. You have to just assume that you won't see him the rest of the way. I think if you're a Keenan Allen owner, that didn't look good to me at all last night.
No.
I don't know if he can walk that one off.
That's missing some time.
16. Yeah, so
they might hold him out to the playoffs, you know.
That's right, especially considering what they have on the line. They've seen that they can win without Melvin Gordon. They won without Melvin Gordon and Keenan Allen last night. If Gordon came
Kansas
back
City.
And Allen
in
was
Kansas
out,
City coming from 14 down, like, that's a pretty good proof point.
Yeah, if Gordon was out and Allen was – or rather, if Allen was out and Gordon was back in, I think they'd feel okay about it. So it's a good point, though. Interesting debate, and I think you're going to see some other guys. Look, teams don't often hold guys out in Week 16. We have seen it a little bit in the past, but historically it's usually wait until Week 17 because if you're snagging a bye anyway or you're locked into the 4 seed or the 5 seed – that's a little different, but, like, shutting it down in week 16 is pretty rare. The Colts did it that one year when they were 14-0, and they gifted the Jets that win, and then the Jets, remember? It was the 2009 season.
Trust me,
I've never seen that happen before in my life.
And the Jets went in and did their thing.
I know. They got gifted 2 wins. It was ridiculous. I never saw that before in my life. But anyway, let's talk about the playoff scenarios for week 15. So the Rams have already clinched the NFC West. The Saints have already clinched the NFC South. The Saints can clinch a first-round bye with a win plus a Chicago loss. Think about that in terms of what they have on the line at Carolina. The Panthers are just fighting for their lives, though. I wonder. I wonder
they
if they
got two games
game.
Against the Saints.
Yeah, I just wonder if they can give them a game here. You've got to figure they give them the game at home,
yes.
Having lost 5 in a row. So
this is their season. For, yeah. And if I'm Carolina, this is my season. I know I got to play the Saints twice. This is the one I get them in my place on national TV with my crowd ready to go. Like, if I win this week, I'm still live. But if they lose, you know, it's a problem, especially if, say, like Minnesota wins, which I actually think they will. So, you know, they need this one.
Yeah, they have to think of it in this term. Like, if they lose this, then the best they can do is 8 wins.
Right.
You already have Seattle there. So yep. Seattle and
I think Minnesota gets a win this week, and that would make them 7-6-1.
Right. So you got to start looking at the other teams that can get to 8 wins, and like, what are you going to do to differentiate yourself? You know, a 3-game winning streak for them is a lot to ask, especially with 2 against the Saints. But it's do or die for them. So I think they could play them tough, but I'd still like the Saints there. So the Rams, they clinch a first round bye with a win and a Chicago loss. Chicago clinches the NFC North division title if they win, or Minnesota loses. So. And they clinch a playoff berth even if they just tie and Washington loses or ties. So Bears looking good right there. I think they win and get the NFC North division title with 2 games to spare. If you told me at the beginning of the year, I might have raised an eyebrow. But after they, like I've said many times, I was fading the Bears a little bit. But once they obtained Khalil Mack, all bets were off. The way the Packers have played and Vikings have played, it obviously isn't surprising. And I would have put the Bears as a dark horse. I did not put them in the playoffs, I don't think. But
no.
I had them as a dark horse. I think, what were my
I thought they were 1 year. I thought they were 1 year early. You know what I mean? That's the way I felt about them. But your wild cards
in the
NFC.
I definitely have 2 NFC South and 2 NFC North teams.
Yep. Your wild cards in the NFC with the New Orleans Saints and the Green Bay Packers.
Right. So I had Minnesota and Atlanta.
You had Minnesota and Atlanta, correct.
The only thing I'll say, though, I know Atlanta is a Super Bowl pick for me. I had them losing, beating the Saints in the NFC championship game. I remember No?
Not true. But if you want to go there, it does make you look better. You actually had them beating the Los Angeles Rams, so that's fine.
All right. Well, either way. I mean, it's still a crappy pick. Don't get me wrong. It's terrible. But I thought I had the Saints there. All right. Well, either way, the Rams. So I hedged my bet a little bit. Let's see. Next one. Dallas Cowboys clinch the NFC East division title with a win. How about that? Cowboys with 2 games to spare. But it would be now the 14th year in a row that the NFC East division will change hands.
Amazing. I think it's going to be really tough for them in Indianapolis, though.
I mean, that's
This is an interesting challenge. It is amazing.
The parody of that division.
The revolving door of that kind of stalwart blue chip division. You're absolutely right. It's interesting because even Washington gets in there sometimes.
I think the Steelers have probably won the last.
It's nothing compared to the Patriots, though.
No, they've won 17 of 18. The last time they lost was when Brady got hurt.
They still won 11-5 that year, I think.
Yeah, what's up, Matt Castle? So, Seattle Seahawks, they clinch a playoff berth with a win.
Scotty Angle let me know about that last hour.
Gotta like that one. So they'll be at 9 wins after this week, you would think.
Hey, Blewett, I hate to say it, but what happens if the Baltimore Ravens win as they are favored to do at home against Tampa, and then the Pittsburgh Steelers do not win as they are favored to do against
England? So who does Miami play this week? I mean, the Steelers are going to be in a dogfight.
Like, the Steelers are going to be in the fight. That tie is going to be real important for the Steelers, potentially. Miami's at Minnesota, so that's a rough one. But Tennessee is at New York.
Yeah.
It could be Tennessee.
And who does Indianapolis have?
They have these Dallas Cowboys coming to town.
That's right. So, I mean, there's a lot of big games.
Yeah. Watch what happens if Denver gets the win at home against Cleveland. They're right back in it, too, for that spot. It is going to be a dogfight. I really believe you're going to have, you know, Pittsburgh at like 7-6-1. You know, and then you're going to have whatever, you know, maybe Tennessee at 8, Baltimore at 8, you know, Denver at 7. This is going to be a dogfight. The Steelers are in trouble.
Absolutely have to win one of the next 2.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
I think they're going 2 of 3. I don't know which one they're going to win.
I don't think they're winning this Sunday.
I would pick this Sunday over New Orleans, but to be honest, right now, I'm saying they absolutely have to win it. But I, you know what? Let me back off my previous statement. I don't know that they're going to go 2 of 3. They absolutely have to go 2 of 3.
Right.
But I don't know.
They might finish 8-7-1, and I don't think that gets them in.
I don't think it does either. So keep going. Kansas City, they did clinch their playoff berth. They did not clinch the AFC West Division title or a first-round bye. The Patriots clinched the AFC East Division title with a win and a Miami loss. So they need both of those to happen. They clinch a playoff berth with a win and a Tennessee loss. A couple other scenarios there. The Texans clinched the AFC South Division title with a win and an Indy loss and a Tennessee loss. So they need a bunch there to happen. They clinch a playoff berth with there's eight different scenarios in which they can clinch a playoff berth. They have to win this weekend, and they'll have a good chance of being in. That's the reality. The Texans will be at 10 wins, and that basically guarantees it for them, even if it's not mathematically clinched. I don't see the other teams pushing up to 10 wins, Indianapolis ripping off three or Tennessee ripping off all three. It could challenge them, but we'll see. And the last one, the Chargers clinched their playoff berth last night with the win. So kudos to them. And that's it for the playoff scenarios. Steelers probably in the roughest spot right now of all the teams that we're looking at that we felt good about a couple of weeks ago. They're the ones in the toughest spot. I guess if you're a Carolina fan and you're at 6-2, you're feeling pretty good. But that has really fallen apart. Whether Cam's 100% healthy or not, they've lost some brutal games in this five-game losing streak. They got destroyed by the Steelers, the one-pointer in Detroit, which I really needed. And they missed a two-point conversion there late, a field goal to Seattle, which that was a home game. And then they lose at Tampa and at Cleveland. Shout out to the Browns for playing a lot better. But still, that Tampa game, that was a stunner too. I mean, Carolina, honestly, Dean, they could have clinched me two unders already. And they lost to the Lions and the Bucks. And now the Browns.
They're not helping you? They're not helping you out?
So the Browns, just to keep, continue the conversation, the Browns have won 3 of 4.
That's right.
Their only losses to the Texans. They got, they got beat up on.
Greg Williams has won more games in his tenure than Hugh Jackson.
Oh yeah, he sure has. Yeah, 3 of 4 there. Hugh got fired after the Steelers game, right?
I believe that's correct.
33-18 after Week 8. I believe so. So here we are now. Their final three at Denver, hosting Cincinnati, at Baltimore. Not easy. Denver in the fight. Baltimore in the fight. Cincinnati.
Not so much.
Not so much. Maybe turning the page from Marvin Lewis. I'll believe it when I see it, to be honest.
But I remember when they fired Hugh, I remember asking you, what do you do if Greg Williams goes 4-1 with this
team? They're not keeping him.
I don't think so either. But the idea of, the Bruce Arians or something like that, if they get a big old offensive guru guy, wouldn't they just keep Greg Williams and let him run
the
defense?
They could, but the coach coming in probably won't like that,
Shop for his own groceries.
But he may be beholden to what John Dorsey wants to do. And if John Dorsey and Myles Garrett's playing his tail off, and Denzel Ward obviously has proven to be a solid first-round pick. So if they feel like they're getting results out of the defense, they might want to keep Greg Williams around. Now, to be fair, they've given up the 31st most yards, or rather the second most yards in the league. They're 30th in the league in allowing first downs. They've given up the most passing attempts, the second most passing yards. So, and on the rushing side of things, they've given up 15 rushing touchdowns. That's 30th in the league. 28th most yards. Statistically, this doesn't look pretty. They just play better football for the last month. Dana and I will come back with our picks after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-804-7060. 800-804-7060. 800-804-7060. That's 800-804-7060.
The Morning After.
Roger Goodell doesn't like when he has to do anything.
Oh, yeah, no
doubt. He just wants to get paid $48 million a year.
Yeah.
Kareem Hunt, isn't there a golf tournament coming up this week? You know what I mean? Like, players, really? I got to worry. Like, oh, why don't you just put him in a city that we just left and said, dude, I was going to say anything. How hostile is going to be.
Yeah.
But hey, San Diego, what are they going to do? Throw surfboards at
them? Not going to do nothing. They really don't care about it that much.
Everybody throwing sand. But
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Pomona producing, bringing us back with some poo. Love it. It's Football Friday. And if you want to wager, I need you to go over to BetDSI. They have wagering options for almost any sport you can think of, including sides, totals, and player props, where you can utilize your DFS skill without salary cap constraints. You're going to even wager on esports, politics, and reality TV with our man Nick.
That's right.
On Survivor.
Survive in advance. It's like March Madness.
That's right. Or get an edge with live betting at BetDSI, where you can wager virtually anytime during a contest, capitalizing on in-game circumstances. Tons of ways that you can make money. So use the promo code FNTSY101 when signing up and get a 100% bonus deposit match. Once you've opened up your account, go to DailyRoto.com, click on Contact Us, and send us your BetDSI username, and we'll give you 1 month of Daily Roto access totally free. That's access to all sports tools and optimizers. Head on over and open your account at BetDSI. That's promo code FNTSY101 to get your 100% bonus deposit match and 1 month free membership at DailyRoto.com. So there you go. It's on to our picks, Dane Martinez. And I have had a rough couple of weeks here. I need to do a little bit more research in order to get back on the good foot. I've lost my last five picks, and I trail you by three, it looks like. So
yeah, like three and a half, you know, because you only made two picks last week, so there's a weird little half game. But
I'll try to do four one of these weeks just so we get the even amount of picks. I think it's only fair to do it that way, but I'm not going to do that this week. But since I'm trailing, I'm going to let Dane go first, and then maybe I can go the opposite way or pick different games from him.
Yeah, it looks like you need to do something like that to make up some ground. Just so you know, right now I am three over. You are five under, Mike. So I got a little bit of a three or four game working margin, but there is 3 weeks left. All right, so you know you still got a chance. All right,
Chance, of course.
All right, so you know, I got to tell you, I don't mean to pile on. I know you're a Steelers fan, Blewett, but I'm taking New England minus the points in Pittsburgh. To your point, you've talked about this all week long. The Steelers are just not playing well. The Steelers are just not playing well right now, and I believe the Patriots, you know, are that team who are not going to get upset. I think they're going to bring their A game when needed. I've said that I think what New England and Bill Belichick will do will apply what they did against Minnesota. Doubling Thielen, doubling Diggs. I think they'll do it with AB and Juju. I don't think Samuels and the run game is really there. I think they're going to force Big Ben to look to other players like Washington, like Vance McDonald. I don't think they get it done. I'm also encouraged, quite frankly, that I saw the line earlier this week at 3, and it's apparently on the FanDuel Sportsbook down to 2.5. So give me the New England Patriots on the road minus the 2.5. Blewett, you see this at 2.5? It was at 3. So money is coming in on Pittsburgh?
Yeah, they're awesome. They're going to be they're going to be great this weekend.
Okay, fine.
I got nothing. I got nothing for you.
But you know what I mean? Like,
they're playing like hell for a month.
Right. I didn't think that's the way the line
what
would
the hell happened in that Panthers-Steelers game?
Yeah, what happened to that team?
Both teams fell apart.
Well,
the Steelers
James
won by 30 points.
James Conner is a big difference.
Yeah, that's not the only difference. They play like crap against Jacksonville. Yeah. They lost to Denver because they turned the ball over a million times.
Listen, I don't know.
They won 52-21 on a Thursday night. I'm like, boom.
They lost 7-2-1.
We're doing it. Tell me about it. I don't care who was quarterbacking. Josh Dobbs should have started, and they still could have won that game by 10. But anyway, the Panthers have lost every game since, and the Steelers have too.
Yeah.
Oh, they got the lucky against Jacksonville.
So, by the way, that's why I'm picking New England, -2.5 at Pittsburgh as one of my first picks. Make you want me to reel them off, right, so you know what to avoid or go heads up against? All right.
Yes, sir.
I alluded to another pick. Listen, I'm taking your boys, Blewett. I'm taking the Tennessee Titans. This to me is the classic case of the Titans really have all that they need to play for in front of them. I like the way they play. They keep it, you know, keep it in a phone booth, keep it sloppy, and they're getting points. I think they're just straight up. They're a better team than the Giants, and they're getting points. And also, this news with Odell Beckham, we talked about Dr. A, and, you know, I question on some level the Giants' motivations. I agree with you, Blewett, that they are this kind of blue-chip organization that's going to roll over and die. But without Odell Beckham, if that's the case, I do believe that the Titans will be able to key in on Saquon. I do believe they'll be able to force Eli into the fetal position a couple of times. And I think there's a non-zero chance, Blewett, that we see some Kyle LaLetta in the second half. Give me the Tennessee Titans +2 at MetLife Stadium on the road.
And Tennessee IR'd two players, Jonnu Smith, the tight end who took over for Delanie Walker, and more importantly, Jack Conklin, starting tackle. So
interesting.
That is a bad loss for them. So Derrick Henry owners that actually played him and were hoping for a continued run, I think their run game could be hurt a little bit. Mariota's protection, he's right tackle. Yeah. So
it's could not be Deion Lewis
protection,
action.
But yeah. Yeah, so we'll see. But that's a bad injury to their offensive line, so keep going.
Definitely true. Definitely true. You make a great point. I still think Tennessee, just because, listen, to our point, you know, they need to win some games. They could, you know, they could still get into the playoffs. So I do like Tennessee, and I'm getting points too, so I'll take them.
In your deeper leagues, I saw Anthony Frisker getting picked up, Jonnu Smith's backup. So we're diving
in. Yeah, listen, I'll take Vernon Davis as a tight end pickup over him. Remember, with no Jordan Reed, I think he's actually an interesting name that we haven't talked about much this week. My third pick, Blewett. To me, these are just teams going in opposite directions. And listen, last week, the Chicago Bears kept the Los Angeles Rams in Chicago down to 6 points. This week, Aaron Rodgers comes to town, but this Packers team is, I think, depleted. You know, this is Aaron Rodgers trying to work magic with Devontae Adams and not a whole lot else. The Bears defense was able to stifle the Rams. I think they can do it again with the Packers. The Bears have everything to play for. The Packers mathematically, alive, aren't really. I think this team is somewhat crumbling. They're going to hit a different part of their cycle, you know, with a new head coach. I see that the line right now, the last time I checked, Blewett, that line was 6. I'm going to check it again to make sure it still is 6. Give me the Chicago Bears at home -6 against their division rival Green Bay. They get to make a statement and show the Packers that they have arrived. Remember, they lost to the Packers on the Aaron Rodgers coming off the cart early in the season. I think the Bears get it done -6 against Green Bay.
Okay, so on to me. I'm right out of the gate. I'm taking the Seahawks. I think they're going to clinch the playoff berth right here. The Niners, you want to talk about depleted. I don't really want to lay that hook, 3.5, but the Niners have played some teams tight, but I think we're getting to the time of the season where the cream is rising to the top, and the teams that are struggling through the season are really starting to struggle now. I get that the Raiders pulled off a win, but this is the time of year where teams are like, all right, man, this is like, let's get that U-Haul going, as Marshall Faulk likes to say.
When's my tea time?
Yeah, so let's get that U-Haul going, and so I can get home where it's warm for the summer or for the winter break, whatever you want to call it. So I'll take the Seahawks getting that playoff berth clinched, laying the 3.5. The other game I'm looking at, Rams-Eagles. I don't want to lay the points there, but I think the Rams come back and explode offensively. So I need the Eagles to score just like 14 points or so to get me over there, but I'll take that over 52.5. It is a high number, but I just do think the Rams get everything back lined up the way they needed to. I think McVay is going to be game planning extra hard to make sure that this offense is clicking as they head into late December. So I'll take that over there, 52.5. You have any
comments for us
there?
Hopefully Josh Reynolds is part of that, huh?
No kidding, yeah.
I have a question for you. So if you like that over 52.5, I've been saying this week, sneaky, and I may have to do it myself in PPR formats, I like Darren Sproles this week, Blewett. You know, Clement is gone, right? He's on IR. Josh Adams profiles as really an early down back who won't be on the field and what's likely an up-and-down kind of game. You know what I mean? With Foles and Sproles, they have some chemistry, some experience. I think Foles can catch like 7 balls in this game.
And the soft part of this Rams defense is really the linebacking core and not tracking down back. So that is actually an interesting sneaky play, certainly for DFS and in your deeper leagues where you've lost some guys and
I have a league where I have Spencer Ware, Kerryon Johnson, James Conner, you know, who have taken me to the playoffs. So this week I'm starting Sony Michel. I'm going to listen about James Conner. And I may plug in Darren Sproles. I know it sounds crazy, but you know, I'm painting into a corner.
What is the last one? I'm looking at a couple here. You know, I think the one I'm going to go with, because I'm trying to be different from you too,
right,
to some extent. God, the Raiders-Bengals game. What a horrendous game.
Oh, God.
But that's big for people that have the Bengals over, because the Bengals are sitting at 5 wins right now. And they need to get to 6.5. And getting the Raiders here late is clutch for them. Yeah.
Only 3.
Yeah. And they have, after that, they're at Cleveland, at Pittsburgh. So these next 2 weeks are going to be big for those people that have Cincinnati, even though they're playing a bad brand of football. So the last one I'm going to take, it may shock you, I'm going to take the Colts. I think as good as Dallas has been playing defensively,
I
like Indianapolis at home here. I'd like it if it was 2.5. I see this being a tight game, but I'll take the Colts. I like Andrew Luck late. I don't see Dak Prescott continuing the extravaganza that he had in the fourth quarter against Philly last week, and the Colts are a lot better defensively. So that's my picks. I'll talk to you on Sunday, folks, on Lineup Lock Live and FST and Dana, and we'll be back here next week. Good luck in all your semifinal playoffs.